So
we are recording.
I just hit record right here. So we are recording.
The big red button, you mean?
The
you
big
hit that
red,
button?
I hit the big red record button.
Welcome to you. No.
Holy shit. Not even a second into the podcast. Not even one
I knew
second
I was going
to
do that because I'm so used to saying uniquely you.
Ad marker.
Yeah.
Why?
This is just a pilot anyway because we have no send people yet.
Exactly.
This is a pilot. We're just getting started.
That means I should be able to yell and not peek it out.
Okay. What are you talking about?
That's all good. Okay.
Okay. We'll work on that.
We'll work on that.
But where should we send
magically put it out there and...
Welcome to Create Influence. It's time to discover the impact that you can have on this world by being uniquely you. I'm Laria Petrucci. Normally, I'm the put together one, the planner, the sane one, but I've just discovered that my yoga pants are actually inside out today.
They are. They're inside out. At least they're not inside out and backwards.
At least they're not backwards.
Right.
Who are you, David?
Who am I? Is that what you just said?
I did.
I am David Foster.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And what are you good at? You're good at being the crazy one, typically.
Well, I'm not. It's not like I'm trying to be a crazy one. I'm just
me. He just
me.
Is.
I'm just who I am. So I'm uniquely me.
You are uniquely
yes.
you.
And I don't. I don't try to be anything other than that.
Now, this is the pilot episode. This is kind of where we want to discover what Create Influence is and what to expect from this podcast. This has been a year in the making.
Yep.
And it's been a passion of mine that I've tried to do something about, but I really haven't taken action on it. And you and I really have the same thought process around how to create content that is truly authentically us. And we are very different people too.
We are.
And it's been, you know, a challenge, I would say, in the process of creating content together because we are so different, of learning to be uniquely us while still appreciating the other's uniqueness as well. So
right.
That's going to be part of the conversation as well. We have lots of guests that we're going to be inviting onto the podcast to really dive into how they have learned to succeed by being uniquely them. So, what is influence? So, since we are talking about creating influence online through content, let's define influence.
Well, and influence kind of. I mean, there are a lot of creators that I hear, it's a negative word. They don't like the word influence because it sounds like you are manipulating people.
Right?
I think people kind of look at the word influence like manipulation. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so to some creators, it has kind of a negative connotation, but it's
Well, it can be a very positive thing. It can be a very negative thing.
It depends
it's
on how
you
you're
use
influencing.
It.
Right. If you're using your influence to do negative things, then yes, it is. But I think it's almost like people don't like the word fans. They don't like the word.
I hate the word fans.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, it's not that the word itself is bad. It's just that it has kind of a negative, because there, and I think that comes from humble creators.
Right.
Creators that are humble don't like to think of themselves mm-hmm. as influencing people or as having fans
or right.
you know, stalkers or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that it's positive if you're using it in the right way.
And I believe creating influence through content specifically is really about staking your claim in the industry, in the world, with what you know, with what you believe, and who you are. And that combination of those three things is how you create influence and create positive influence.
But when I think of influence, I don't think of it as a creator influencing their audience as much as I think it's influencing the marketplace.
Right.
Right. So they're using their audience. Their audience establishes their influence in the marketplace. So I look at it as they're building a community, and their community, they do have influence over their community, but they're like part of the community. But having that large community influences the marketplace. So that's where I see them as influencers, not actually, you know, for their community. And I think that helps dispel the negativity of it because, you know, the more influence creators have on a marketplace, the better deals they get and things like that.
Right.
Which does boil down to how large their community is. But,
right.
You know, I think, I think that that's where the negativity comes, because I think creators think that that when you say influence, that you're talking about them influencing their community. And I don't think it is that. I think it's having the big community influences the marketplace.
That's a fair way to look at it. You definitely, when you build a true community, and you can think of it as 1,000 true fans, or as fans, or your tribe, or whatever word you want to use. 1,000 evangelists.
Product evangelists, or evangelists of your work.
Yeah.
People that comment on every single post.
Yeah, and those people who are really dedicated to you, loyal to you, evangelists. When you do build up that world inside of your own world, then you definitely have influence, and people will buy what you want them to buy, and not that what you want them to buy. They will just support you. That's really what happens, is they just want to support you as a content creator.
Right. It's almost like when we had, you know, things like Patreon and stuff set up, there were people who donated just because they wanted to help, not because they wanted any behind the scenes content. They didn't want anything extra. They just wanted to help support, because they liked the people.
Yeah. Like to support awesome content. And
awesome
when
people.
You are,
it's not the content they're support. It's the people.
The people.
Right.
It's by being uniquely you.
Right. They don't. Nobody ever supports the content.
That's
true. They support the creator.
That is true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we all get stuck trying to fit into these boxes that everybody says that you as a business owner, or that you as a content creator, and we believe that you are one and the same. Being a business owner and a content creator, you are one and the same. Because content creators, if you feel like you're a YouTuber, you need to be creating a business out of the content that you're creating. If you feel like you're a business, you need to be creating content as a business, and then therefore you are a creator, and you are taking into consideration a community building process, not just trying to shuffle people into your business.
Well, and what happens a lot of times too is a lot of people start off as a creator based on a passion or a hobby, and then all of a sudden they start gaining influence mm-hmm. in the marketplace because they start building these large communities, and then they don't even realize, oh my gosh, all of a sudden my passion is a business. Like they don't approach it that way. And I think that that's where, you know, if you are trying to take something that's a passion or something that you're a hobby, and you're just doing it to do it, that's the best way to do it, because then you're doing it because you don't care if you make money. But what happens to a lot of people is if they put that out there, and they put it out there consistently, and they build this community, they end up making a business out of it. So you do have to be prepared to take on the business side, because think about it, if people could, you know, they're doing it part time, they have a job, and then they're doing their passion and all that on the side. Eventually, if that can become a full-time gig, that's a life-changing event. And, and we see that happen all the time.
All the time. It's incredible.
There's two kind of people out there. There are people that are content creators because they got into mm-hmm. it because they want to create a business. Or there's business owners they're business owners and they're trying to create content, but they're not creating it correctly because they're creating business content and it's all professional and no personality and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so those people need to learn how to be like the people with passion or hobbyists, and the hobbyists need to know also the business side because of the money-making stuff and the tax stuff and all that other stuff that goes along with that. So it's like these two worlds have to meet.
They do. And that we've been, it's interesting, you know, people have come up to me and asked me from the business world, like, you really think that that businesses have to be content creators content creators, or like, well, content creators, yes, they have to be businesses. That's pretty well established, but not if you're just starting out as a content creator. And so,
I don't think content creation is the right word though. Because they don't need to be content creators. They need to be community builders.
Yes.
I think that's a big difference because they're already creating content.
True. They are
creating
content.
The wrong content. They are not creating community mm-hmm. building content. They're not putting out engaging content.
Yeah.
They're just putting out, you know, they're sharing the latest Forbes article, or they're sharing the latest money article, thinking that that's what people want. But there's no personality behind mm-hmm. it. There's no person that they're seeing in that post. They're not connecting with anyone. So that's why you see all of these business pages posting the same shit and getting no engagement.
Yeah.
Nothing. And that's why, because it so I think it's not correct to say that a business needs to become a content creator. A business needs to become a community builder.
I think you're absolutely right, and because we talk about that, but yes. Okay, right here on this podcast, we are changing the words. you know, it is about building community, and that's where the world I come from is building community. I started creating content online 13 years ago, and then I built up a massive community, and I had 2 million followers and these super dedicated, you know, people that watched my show and supported me. And then all of a sudden, and we can get into this story a different time, but all of a sudden I switched gears, right? A few years ago, I switched gears. You were as part of this process. And since then, I believe that at that time, I only thought of myself as a creator. That's the world I lived in. Mm-hmm. And I created content. I had sponsorships. I had brand deals. And then everything changed for me. Big story. But then I switched gears. And since then, I've learned everything I can about business and marketing. And it felt like a completely different world. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to start this, is because I actually got lost process.
And I think that's the thing. People think of it as a completely different world, but it's just another room in your house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you look at it, like it's just like you have this content house. The business side is just another room. It's not like a completely different world. It's not completely separate.
But it totally felt.
Oh no, I know it does.
It felt so different. I lost my personality. I lost myself in that world, that the person I know to be true, that community builder. I felt like I had to be professional. I felt like I had to be a different person. And I felt like I struggled with that process of connecting the two different worlds. And I don't think I'm alone.
Right. No, you're not.
And so that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have this conversation.
See, the thing is, it's funny.
Podcast.
It's funny because for a content creator, the business side is intimidating.
Yes.
But for a business owner, the content side is intimidating.
The community building is intimidating.
So it's like both sides are intimidated by the thing that the other does well.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And honestly, we all have to wear multiple hats. Like
right.
that. This is the day and age that we live in. You have to do both.
It's the age of the entrepreneur. I mean, you have to.
Yeah. For sure. So I've been trying to kind of balance these two different quote unquote rooms or worlds, right? In my head. And then, you know, finally, I think I've gotten to the point where I want to take my stake and put it in the ground and say no, because I felt like, you know, through all of the learning of the business and through all of the learning of the marketing stuff, I constantly felt pulled in a direction that wasn't necessarily me.
Right.
And I learned tactics and techniques and these different things to find success online. And I kept hitting these walls thinking, this doesn't feel like me. And so I might learn something from that technique or that method or that formula, but then I want to break all the rules, right? Like, I just want to put my stake in the ground and say, no more living, trying to be in this box and trying to fit in somebody else's box where they might fit in there, but I certainly don't. And I want to achieve success through creating a business that matches who I am, the way I like to connect to my community, the way I like to do things, and not feel judged or feel bad or feel like I'm doing it wrong. I think it's completely opposite. By doing those things that are you, that is how you are going to do it right and how you're going to achieve the success. So
right. That's
like,
well, it's funny because like I always think of it like so for, since I was a, and don't, you know, if you're listening to this, don't take my advice, because I really feel like I do a lot of things completely different. But
he
when
does.
But when I was the CEO of a tech company, I paid zero attention to stats. I paid zero attention to analytics. We didn't even have analytics. I didn't pay attention to anybody that was a so-called competitor.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you have people that are like, you have YouTube videos and you have a video that has a million views and it's somebody telling you the best time to upload a video is 11 a.m. Pacific. And so everybody starts uploading at 11 a.m. Pacific. So then that skews the results and makes it so that, yeah, that is the best time because that's the only time people are freaking uploading content.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, too many people are trying to be other people. People are trying to be Gary Vaynerchuk. People are trying to be, you know, other YouTubers. And the people that are making it are the people that don't give a shit about that. They're not paying attention to what other people are doing.
Right.
They're just out there passionately creating. Sure, you take tips. You know, you see like Peter McKinnon or whatever and his beautiful B-roll that he makes. And you kind of try to emulate that in your own way and
you
bring your own style.
You take pieces from other people and
right,
you make
you steal
it your
little
own.
Pieces, right. And you'll eventually come up with your own style. But like, don't try to be other people. And I feel like, you know, so many people try to be these other people. And so that kind of skews the results because everybody's like, well, if you want to be successful, you have to follow these 10 steps. Well, you know what? I've never followed those 10 steps. I don't read those books. I don't take that advice. I mean, there are things that I do learn from people for sure, but I learn from seeing what they're actually doing in the marketplace. It's like somebody who's like, I'm a social media manager. I promise you'll get a million people on your page if you do what I say. And I go to their page and they got 1,000 likes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, why aren't you doing it?
We gotta learn to discern.
Right. It's like, why aren't you doing that for yourself?
Rhymed.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you're not doing what you say you can do for other people for yourself, that's disingenuous. So, I mean, it's just like, I don't listen to those people.
Yeah.
And I've been doing my own thing since 1996.
Right.
So because I don't listen, I don't follow those trends. I just do what I feel I'm being pulled to do. Mm-hmm. And it's worked out for me. Maybe that doesn't happen for everybody, but I feel like why couldn't it?
Well, see, I'm the opposite. And David and I are, like I said at the beginning, are very different people. That's
right.
What I was trying to say.
Completely.
You know, he is great at just following his own path and being really, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care what people say. He doesn't care. He is his own person very, very, very much.
I am. But I mean, I do care about what people think, you know, about the content we're putting out for sure.
Well, yes. But you will do your own thing very easily.
But I give about half a shit, I guess.
And so my personality is definitely a lot more caring. I'm a very empathetic person. I actually see, you know, how people are responding and that affects me. And so I am very opposite from that perspective. So I have found that learning from others and understanding why they do what they do definitely helps me form, you know, my own version of the formula better. But, you know, it's two different things. And that's what you have to decide for yourself is how you want to take on that role of building your business and creating the content and creating your communities that is going to match your personal style and the lifestyle that you want as well. Like we didn't say this yet, but we're actually outside right now.
Right.
Creating content, creating this podcast,
so if
shooting
it
live.
So if you hear airplanes and birds and all that stuff, that's because we are sitting at a park in Washington State by the river, actually. We can see the river. It's like crystal blue skies.
It's like 60 degrees.
60 degrees. It's
beautiful.
Gorgeous. And, you know, we're not going to cut any of that out. That's going to stay in there. It's like ambiance. Yeah. It's nice.
We should have probably said it at the beginning, but
it doesn't matter. Why?
Why? Let's take a break and go to the comments. Lawton says, you're not alone. When I was talking about, I think you were probably talking, Lawton, about when I was talking about being pulled, like being kind of intimidated and overwhelmed by the business and marketing aspect. When I started out on my own, I actually, well, my own being with you, but like, I felt like, you know, it was kind of like I was finally on my own. Getting
but I
to do
back in a way.
You did. It was pretty much on my own. I mean, guidance and stuff, but because you were the first person who told me about the idea of actually course creation and like helping people understand how to do what I do. That was a concept that I had no idea when I was doing Geek Beat and Geek Brief. But anyway, I was told that I could not do business. Like for 34 years, I thought I couldn't do anything on my own. So, you know, that was a brand new concept and that was an overwhelming concept for me, but hey, I've done it, right? Like, you can do it. Oh, Rebzilla says you guys deserve 1 million subs. You are freaking awesome, Rebzilla. Thank you.
Yeah, give them to us. Appreciate
that. Yeah, come on. Did you subscribe? Okay, let's get back into the podcast. Well, we're almost done because we've got just like what to expect from this podcast. Okay. What are we doing here?
Right. What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
What should you expect from this podcast? Well, you know, we talked a lot about kind of the philosophy behind it, and that's what you can expect. Basically, we want you to be inspired, be motivated, have the tools at your disposal to be able to create communities, create content, and
create content that builds community.
Create content that builds community and a business. Something like that. Well, this is a pilot. We're working on the language.
Create content to build a community, and then how to manage it as a business.
That's
and treat
way
it
too
like
long,
a business.
David. It's way too
well, that's
long.
Not a saying. It's just that's what they're going to learn.
Yes. And we are going to help you
Although,
and help ourselves at the same time.
We do have to put a disclaimer.
Oh, what's the
on
disclaimer?
The business side. We
Do
are not accountants.
Disclaimer really fast.
We are not accountants.
Or
so
lawyers.
We're not going to give financial advice or anything like that.
Or legal advice.
Or legal advice. But we will, you know, kind of tell you the things that we've gone through as entrepreneurs, because it definitely ebbs and flows. It is something you have to totally be prepared for.
It does. It is an emotional wrecking process. You know, it's like you have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of your emotions, your physical being, because it will ruin you if you don't, as we have learned. And, you know, we want to make sure that we have basically what you can expect from this podcast. What I'm looking forward to is having authentic, really gut-wrenching honesty and vulnerable conversations. I want to really dig into the Trina says, I'm a motivational speaker and have a podcast. I really need you guys. We need you. We all need each other. And I think that that's something that's really important. And that's what we're trying to build here, is a community of support, a community that is here to help each other out, support each other, learn from each other. And I want us all to support every individual's desires, right? So like when we come together, when you say, Trina, that you are a motivational speaker, I want to cheer you on in that process. I don't want to try and force you to be in a box that is a motivational speaker box that the world is trying to create for you and tell you exactly how to create that. I want you to do it your own way. And that is what you can expect from this podcast. We are recording this live, and I just took Trina's comment and brought it into the conversation because I really think that that's something that is important in the community that we're trying to build, is that support system as well, because it is an emotionally tense process to create community, to create content, to create a business. And it's a very important conversation to have. So,
and it's also really rewarding when you, after you build one, because like I look at, I mean, it's almost like building a family, an external family, or a not external. What's the word I'm looking for? Like Geek's Life. I look
family.
At those, I talk to those people like they're my friends. I would have them to my house. You know, not all of them, but most of them.
Abby's our chihuahua.
Yeah,
and
she's getting restless.
A little restless. She wants to go walk. So, you know, we are going to paint the pretty pictures. You're going to see the pretty stuff about us and our guests and the influencers that you see out in the world. But then we're going to break down those barriers and tell you the truth of what it takes to really create a business out of content that creates community.
Well, and that's one thing we don't hold back.
Like, no, we don't. We are so honest.
Yeah.
We're probably honest to a fault.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it is faulty to be too honest. It's like, I used to really piss off the board members when I was the CEO of founder. There was nobody else. when I was the founder of a tech startup, what were we just saying?
The emotional, like the being honest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. So like when I was the CEO of a tech startup and I had board members, they didn't like how transparent I was with my business. You know, I did not hide anything online. And so they're like, you're giving the competitors too much information. I'm like, I don't care. If people came to me and they were like, you know, asking me what's the difference between you and your competitor? I'm like, I don't have competitors. What do you mean? Like if you go try their system out and try mine out, whichever one you like. And that used to drive the board members crazy that was my philosophy, because I didn't want people to come use my service if it didn't work for them.
Right.
I wanted them to get what worked for them. I shared our finances. There was one time when Facebook launched Timeline, we had just spent about $350,000 into the latest version of our product that we were just getting ready to launch. And literally the day we launched, Facebook rolls out Timeline and completely changes all of our code, and it didn't work.
Right.
And so I was like, holy cow, we can't sell this because it doesn't work. So I couldn't sell it. I used up almost all of our money to put into developing it. And so I had to have a sale that weekend. And I told everybody, I was just honest with exactly what happened. Right. And so being honest with exactly what happened, I was able to sell people that had actually already purchased. They purchased again just to help us make it through that
time. Isn't
that
amazing?
And so
that's what true community is.
They would not have
is.
Done that if I had not been transparent.
Right.
It drove the board members nuts. But as soon as that happened, they left me alone a little bit more, because they were always saying, you should wear a suit. And I'm like, I'm not wearing a suit. Yeah. I am who I am. If you guys don't like it, I'm sorry. I'm not changing. That was a stipulation of even taking their money.
Yeah.
You are not going to run this company. You are not going to change the culture. You're pretty much an investor without a voice, pretty much. They
Which
try.
Is hard for them.
It is hard for them, but, you know.
But, you know, this is, like, I think, so I see some comments in the live chat that are going on, and everybody's like, yes, 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 like, this is what you have to do, and they're kind of repeating this stuff, which is great. I love it. But we can all agree that it's the right thing to do. It's not. It's not the easy thing to do,
right?
And that's where people get tripped up.
Well,
you can agree that you need to be authentic or vulnerable or transparent, but actually doing it, that is the hard thing. And that's why we need this conversation and why we need the community.
Well, and people that are in business, a lot of times they feel like they have to be professional. Like, people aren't going to take them seriously.
Right.
If you're a financial advisor and you own a dog and you have a sense of humor, that your audience is so boring because you think your content is so boring, what you do is so boring, that you can't bring personality into it. But the people who do, there are people that are successfully sharing financial information and doing that on Twitch, even.
Yeah.
A real estate agent or whatever. And people love it because he's bringing personality, he's bringing humor, and he's making something that is otherwise boring fun. So, you know, the only way that's ever going to happen, if you're a financial advisor, a real estate agent, a doctor, a masseuse, anything, is trying to figure out a way to bring people into a different aspect of your life and still get the credibility of being what you are. But you can't, you know... You can't feel like you have to be professional. You have to wear a suit. You can't show your dog. You can't have a sense of humor that you have to be like, if you want to grow an audience, you need, you know, and be completely serious, because people are going to be like, what the hell is this? This is boring.
Right.
They have no connection to you whatsoever.
No connection.
They might get something from you. They might get some advice. They might use it, but it's not going to be something where like, holy cow, this guy is hilarious. Right. I'm subscribing. I got to come back and watch this.
I can't tell you, because we have another business, Live Streaming Pros, where we teach live video. And in that business, I can't tell you how many people have hidden their cats, their dogs, their pets, their kids, their life. And the concept just doesn't mesh, right? Until I say, it's fine. And that's another thing that I really need us all to experience, is the not waiting for permission. A lot of times, you know, people come into our world and in the Live Streaming Pros world and say, thank you for giving me permission to feel like I can do XYZ. Screw permission. Why are we waiting for permission? And I'm speaking to myself right now, because I waited for permission for a year to start this beginning of the podcast, because I was waiting for permission. Permission from who? Who cares about somebody else giving you permission? Screw
exactly.
that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I just hate that we as a human race wait for that or decide that we can't do something that's in the back of our head. And a thing that we'll have to dive into this in a big way in the future, but the moments that we are quiet and allow ourselves to dream, those are the moments that we must have in order to build the communities and build the business that we want, that is authentic to us. Because without that quiet time, our brains are going so fast that we wind up just getting in a wheel, in a rat race, right? Or like what do they call that? A mouse wheel. Like we're just like running the wheel and we're just going so fast and trying to do the things and accomplish the things. But we have to take
hamster
that moment.
Wheel, I think they call
hamster
it.
Wheel. And dream. We have to dream and explore
take action on that dream.
Right. Yeah, for sure. We have to explore what it means to us to what we want, what we actually want, because we just get too hyped up into that wheel or too involved in that wheel that we don't take the time to think, what is it I actually want?
Right. And having a single rotation on this earth, you know, the longer you wait, the longer you don't take action on what it is you actually want to do. You know, like I look at like there's no way I could have went the route of working in a cubicle. I would be insane. I probably would be a serial killer if I had to work in a cubicle because I just don't understand the herd mentality like that. Like, you know, and I'm not putting anybody down who does, but I guarantee you most people that
it's
do that,
you.
They don't want to do that.
Right.
They're doing that because they have to, not mm-hmm. because they want to. Most of those people have side gigs and they have other things that they like. My best friend,
hobbies.
Todd, my best friend, Todd is the perfect example. He hates his job. Mm-hmm. But he has done it for like 15 years and sits there and tries to like wants to do what I do. You know, he wants to do a blog on food and he wants to do all this stuff. And he was a chef and he has a lot of talent, but he's always scared to take the risk mm-hmm. to do it because he's been in that world so long and it gets comfortable mm-hmm. because you've got that paycheck coming in
right?
every month.
It's
and
scary.
So,
I will tell you, it's not the easiest thing in the world, right?
You've got all these things and it's like, it becomes so comfortable that to look at even to think about doing anything else is a scary thing.
For sure.
So
now I do know on the opposite side, I know people who take jobs like that only for the 9 to 5 so that they can pay their bills. And they're 100% okay with that because their life, their hobbies, the thing that they live for is outside that job.
Right.
But it just gives them the paycheck to be able to afford those hobbies. And that's what they want to spend their time doing. And they're totally okay with that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So if that's you,
but most of
then
those
great.
People aren't in cubicles. Most of those people are executives or have a
no, I know up. Some people who do like restaurant, like wait, like servers,
but that's not a cubicle.
Things like that, right? Yeah. It's not a cubicle, that, but it's
you
a,
can actually, I mean, out here you can make a great living as a wait.
That's
as,
true.
You know, and if you like that kind of thing, that's fine. But that's also one of those things that's usually a stepping stone to something else.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of people who have ambitions for their life to be like, it's a lot of actors or mm-hmm. whatever. They don't have an ambition to be a waiter, a bartender or anything like their whole lives, unless they're somebody who is doing it in a club, you know, and it's like cocktail where they're spinning the drinks.
Right,
and it's like
right.
they're entertaining because
yeah.
it's what they do.
Sure.
They're mixologists or whatever. Yeah. Like they take that very seriously, or they're like beer makers or something like that. Like I can see that, but I think that, you know, anybody who has those kind of like rut jobs, and again, I'm not knocking them mm-hmm. or saying anything negative about them, but like a lot of people who have those, they want out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's a comfort that comes with that. And I think, you know, that's what always pushed me. When I was working in a trailer factory and I was building houses, I was on top of roofs, sweating, laying down shingles, killing my back, killing my knees. One time I hit my head on metal and I was like dripping blood. I have a scar right here. I was dripping blood, wiping blood off, and just kept going because I had to. There wasn't anybody else that could do what I was doing. And so I looked at that and I would sit there, and I was glad I was on the roof because I had a bird's eye view of the people up in the office standing by the water cooler having conversations. And I'm like, you bastards. I'm sitting out here sweating and they're up there just drinking water and talking and laughing. And so at that time I was like, I got to do something on the side. Mm. So I started learning web design. I was like, I think I could do websites. And so I just got into it. Then I got into, you know, email marketing and stuff and Google advertising. And I say I was a spammer when that meant entrepreneur, because you could send down mass emails, right, and people were excited to get, I got an email. And so they'd open, your open rate was through the roof because there weren't very many people sending email. So I had a really successful little thing going on the side. And then eventually in 1996, I was able to go full time with that. Mm-hmm. And you know, for several years, and then just kind of that pivoted me into the marketing world and things like that. And then I got into some multi-level marketing, and because of my marketing skills, I was actually able to make good money in those companies, and have been doing that since 1990. Now, I did have to take jobs here and there because it does mm-hmm. ebb and flow, but my jobs, I always knew in my head, this is temporary.
Yeah.
Completely temporary. So, you know, it's that motivation. You know, if you have that feeling, use that motivation
yeah.
to just find a hobby or find whatever it is you want to do and do it completely part-time until you can work it into possibly full-time. I mean, I even helped my friend Todd build a website. I've built him so many websites and stuff, trying to motivate him to just do it. And he just never does.
And as Kathleen says, who's watching us record this podcast live, she said that I have to keep reminding myself it's just as much a risk to do as not do what I dream. Very well said. And a massive congrats to Drew Griffin, who's also watching live.
Hey, Drew.
He says that he suffered from imposter syndrome big time, which is one of these big struggles mm-hmm. to actually taking action. And he just launched his podcast. He's 17 episodes in so far with another 15 already recorded and scheduled for release. Way to take action, Drew. We love that.
Congratulations, Drew. That is awesome.
All right. So then let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Well, so that's what Create Influence is and what we hope it to be. And we would love, 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 love for you to be involved in this conversation. Really? That was the wrong sound effect.
No, it wasn't. It was perfect.
How is that the right sound effect for that?
I don't know. I just felt like it was.
Like cheering. Like do the cheering. Oh. David, you and your soundboard. Great.
It'll get better once I get my own sounds.
We love having these conversations, and I'm looking forward to some really gut-wrenching, honest, and vulnerable conversations
and
coming
we will,
forward.
And we will eventually have a place where you can come and actually join the conversation.
Yes.
Because we really want to have conversations with you around this kind of content. That's important to us because the most important thing for us is growing the community, and we want you to be part of it. So in the next episode, we will have a place to send you so you can come over, join the community, and join the discussion, which is even more important.
Exactly.
And who knows? Your comment or your content idea may be brought into the show.
If there's something that you want for us to talk about that you would like to have a conversation around, let us know. Just reach out and tell us so that we can wrap that into the big picture.
Indeed, because we love having conversations that you want to have.
This is about you as much as it is about us. We're all together. We're all in this together.
Yes.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you for hanging out with us, and we'll see you in the next one. Or listen to you in the next one. You'll listen to us in the next one. How do we end this?
I don't know, but I think we need to end it quickly.
Bye.
Bye.
Mike McPeak here from the Holding Out for a Hero podcast on Anchor. I just came across this episode here and thought it was interesting. I've been aware of your work for years, and I appreciated everything you've done for the community. And I just hope that I can get something out of this that will help me grow my podcast and grow an audience for it. But I appreciate everything that you're doing here. So thank you very much.